Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Construction began on March 31st, 1909. For the next 26 months, over 2 years, 15,000 shipyard workers from the Harland and Wharf Company built the massive ship. After it was completed, 3,000 carpenters, engineers, plumbers, painters, master mechanics, and interior designers fit the ship with the latest technology and the most extravagant fixtures and furniture. The goal was to give the passengers the impression that they were on a floating hotel instead of a ship. After they got on board, passengers could enjoy a 7-foot-deep saltwater swimming pool, a gym, a squash court, and a Turkish bath. There were lounges, an enormous reception room, a men's smoking room, a reading and writing room, and 5 different restaurants. Even third-class accommodations were considered far better than any other ship of the time. Passengers in third class had their own dining rooms, their own gathering spaces, and even open deck space. And on the day of the ship's maiden voyage, April 10th, 1912, 885 crew members and 1,300 passengers prepared to enjoy the luxury trip from Southampton, England to New York. But just 4 days into the journey, the massive ship struck an iceberg. And 3 hours later, as we all know, the Titanic sank. Legend has it that due to its size, the Titanic was called the unsinkable ship. Now, it's unclear how that idea began, but it's one people held on to. For example, one passenger, Margaret Devaney, said, "I took passage on the Titanic, for I thought it would be a safe steamship, and I had heard it could not sink." Another passenger, Thomas Beattie, wrote home in a letter, "We are changing ships and coming home in a new unsinkable boat." And then, of course, there's the line supposedly given by a deckhand and made famous in James Cameron's movie, which said, "God himself could not sink this ship." And yet, of course, the one thing everyone knows about Titanic is that it sunk. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." The early historian Josephus wrote this about the temple. "The gold coating, quote, reflected so fierce a blaze of fire that those who tried to look at it were forced to turn away. It seemed in the distance like a mountain covered in snow, for any part not covered in gold was dazzling white." Plus, it wasn't just one building. It was a whole temple complex. Right? The disciples even said, "What large buildings," plural. And the complex was huge. It was 5 football fields long and 3 football fields wide. But then the text goes on. Then Jesus asked them, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And he was right. In the year 70, the Roman army came in and destroyed the entire thing. So just like the sinking of the Titanic, the beautiful temple would be famous for its collapse. So did Jesus predict this event? Did he 40 years earlier anticipate that Rome would destroy it? Well, maybe, maybe not. What he did know was that this structure, this thing that people admire, this very center of their life was not going to last. Now, he wasn't waging a war against the temple here. He was simply pointing out that it, like everything else, was subject to destruction and decay and death. And remember what Jesus just saw happen in the temple a moment ago. We heard about it as the gospel reading last week. The temple authorities took everything from that poor widow who dropped in her last two coins. The temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, but it had become corrupt. It was supposed to be helping people in their relationship with God, but it was doing just the opposite. And so whether or not Jesus predicted what Rome would do, he did know that these things we admire simply won't last. Maybe it's an unsinkable ship. Or maybe it's the temple. Or maybe for you, it's something closer to home. Consider those things that you consider solid and constant in your life. Maybe it's your family, or your job, or your health. When everything else in life is changing, this is something you can count on to remain the same. But of course, those things don't last either. Your loved ones die. You lose your job. Or you change jobs. Or you retire from your job. And of course, your health isn't always what it used to be. And it's unclear where the idea came from that these things in our lives are stable. But we still often hold on to that idea. But like the Titanic and the temple, they will fall apart eventually too. And that's not something we really like to hear. We do not like to admit that everything in our lives is dying. Nor did Jesus' disciples like hearing it. And so a little bit later, when they were on the Mount of Olives, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him for details about the temple. But Jesus reminds them it's not just the temple that he's talking about. It's everything. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. To our ears, these words sound like our world today. Because we know of wars and rumors of wars. We know of nations rising against nations. We know of earthquakes and famines and hurricanes and wildfires. We know about politicians who are supposed to be helping people, but who end up doing just the opposite. We watch the evening news and we see the state that our world is in. And so if everything in life crumbles, the world around us, the systems we've built, even the very things that give us comfort in our own lives, if nothing there is stable, then where do we turn when it feels like we're sinking? We turn to Jesus. As he said, this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Like for a woman in labor, these are difficult times. For our world, and maybe for you right now. But new life is coming. And Jesus is still here with you. Consider the ultimate moment when the most stable thing in life seemed to fall apart. Jesus' crucifixion. The disciples had committed their lives to following this one who they thought would change the world. And yet he ended up on the cross like a common criminal. The axis of their world was removed and everything was spinning out of control. Everything seemed to be imploding around them, like massive stones crumbling to the ground, or like a giant ship sinking into the sea. It seemed like all hope was lost. Until that first Easter morning. The tomb was found empty. The risen Christ was alive. And light continued to shine in the darkness. So however you feel like your life is in ruins now, if your relationships are broken, if your job has ended, if your health is failing, or if you're just worried about the state of our world, then just remember that Jesus still holds on to you. Jesus is solid and constant. He is reliable and steadfast. He gives you comfort and stability. And no matter what icebergs threaten to hit you, no matter what armies march against you, no matter what tragedies in this world threaten to break your heart, Jesus still remains. He remains with you, and he remains for you. And he will always give you resurrection life. Since not even death can keep him down, Jesus is the only one who is truly unsinkable. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. In the name of the one who gives us stability, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.